Welcome to Spielin' and Dealin', the Georgia High School Basketball Podcast. I am the owner and founder of SandySpiel.com, Kyle Sandy. And with me today is Ramin Forghani, the producer and moderator of the podcast. Ramin Forghani, how are you doing so far? How was your holiday season? How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Kyle. Thank you. A Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and to all of our listeners out there in Georgia. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. And I guess by the time you listen to this, it's probably appropriate to say Happy New Year's, as we won't have another podcast before that. So wishing all the teams, coaches, and everyone listening to a great and successful 2018, as to you, Kyle. But the real question is, how are you doing, Kyle? How are you feeling?
Yes, yes. In case you have not heard, I went to the urgent care on Thursday night, the 21st of December, and I was there for 18 hours with a glucose level of 900, which is nine times the appropriate healthy level suggested between blood sugars of 80 and 100. So I don't want to say I was on my deathbed, but they were saying, the doctors, if I was older or if I was not in quote-unquote good shape, I would have been in a diabetic coma and probably would have died. But with that being said, yes, I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes last week. So it's been an ordeal, but I feel much better than when I originally went into the doctor's office. So I credit my parents for taking me a day early instead of waiting another day to go get my blood tested. So it was very serious for me. It was not good. So I had to take insulin shots for the rest of my life, or at least that's what they tell me as of right now before I go see the doctor again. But yeah, it was tough seeing, you know, all this basketball going on, and I mean I'm cooped up with no energy in the bed, getting three bags of fluid injected into me, but I feel a lot better now. I'm ready to get back into some gyms. I just gotta watch what I eat and all that good stuff. So it should be a healthy lifestyle change for me. It was pretty scary. I want to, you know, caution anybody who is, you know, not feeling well. It's always a good thing to go to the doctor, because I guess it started off maybe that, like, Wednesday-ish. I think maybe was it like a Wednesday when I saw Lithia Springs and Maynard Jackson play. I think that was the start of it. So it was probably like a 10-day stretch where I started to feel a little worse and worse. And, okay, I was drinking a lot of water. I had super bad dry mouth. I'm going to the bathroom nonstop. I cannot sleep because I'm, you know, getting up to pee all the time. I had no energy. I was hardly able to stay awake. Then it got real scary when my vision was going and it was getting very blurry and I could not see. And, it was scary. I lost about 10 pounds and, yeah, but anyway, fast forward to today. I feel much better. Blood sugar is much more manageable and I am ready to get back into some gymnasiums to watch some holiday hoops. So with that all being said, all that sad and sorry stuff, I'm ready for a good podcast, Ramin. I hope I didn't bring down the mood too much.
No, I think I speak for everyone in saying we're glad to hear that you're doing better. And let's jump right into it. And if I don't think it needs to be said, but that's why we missed you last week. That's why I missed a couple of recaps. You weren't feeling too hot, but that just gives us more to discuss for this podcast. But before we get into it, let's thank our sponsor, Sportalspace.
Yes, we would definitely like to thank our Spielin' and Dealin' podcast sponsor, Sportalspace. Sportalspace helps teams find gyms and fields for practice or training and makes booking a gym as easy as finding a restaurant on OpenTable or a hotel on Expedia. Check out Sportalspace. Every practice, every game.
We'll start it out with the ladies this week. I'll switch it up a bit. And, you know, I was looking through, comparing the Week 4 rankings to the Week 5 rankings to the Week 6 rankings and seeing what I wanted to talk about this week. And it was pretty much the same across 4 to 7A. You know, it's like a copy and pasted version up there. That just allows us to talk about these lower classes in terms of size, Class 3A, 2A and A public. And we'll kick it off with Class 3A. There is a shakeup in the middle of the pack in Class 3A. Johnson, Savannah, and Franklin County doing a bit of shuffling.
Yeah, so Johnson, I had them at number 5 last week. They just moved up today up to number 3, and that's for good reason. They got past Beach, the rival, who Beach will stay at number 2. But Johnson moves up, beat them 48-43. And those two teams, they played each other about 5 times last year. Johnson got blown out in the state title game after, what, it was like 213-211, their total points going into that game. So it's always a nip-and-tuck game. And, of course, this time, the tug-of-war, it was Johnson's turn to win. But Johnson does have 3 losses, and that is only Beach's first loss. So that means Beach will stay at number 2 behind GAC. Franklin County, they slide down a spot to number 4. They're undefeated, but again, they haven't quite played the level of competition that Johnson has played down on the coast, and they did not beat the defending state champs. So that's why they go down. Lovett, they slipped 2 spots. They lost to Dutch Forks in South Carolina, and then lost to Greenbrier over at the Savannah River Shootout. And that pretty much is most of the movement. You got Central Macon going up. They're 8-1. They had a nice win over Washington County. They won that tournament. I believe it was a state bank and trust championship. And at the bottom of the poll, Dawson County, they've been, fluctuating from 8-10 pretty much all year long. It feels like Coach Steve Sweat's team. Their best player, Kaylee Sticker, has been hurt with an ankle. I'm not sure when she's coming back. I believe she did not play this past week. They got beat by Westhall 61-45. So they dropped down to number 10. They're still hanging on at 7-3. I think once Sticker's back 100% healthy, that's still, a really good team that's going to be pushing upwards of 20 wins or so. So they're pretty comfortable. I was trying to see if there were any other teams in 3A that could kind of shake it up, because it's pretty much been out of 3A, maybe like 12 or 13 teams that have been ranked all year. There hasn't been a crazy amount of movement. And looking at everyone else, like your next best options are, 7-4, or, 6-4, or 5-3, not great records, and teams that haven't really played a lot of good teams or have many great resume building wins. So that's why Class 3A, we haven't seen too many new faces in and out of the poll, other than maybe, like I said, 13, maybe 14 teams tops. It hasn't been too crazy yet in Class 3A.
We'll take it down to Class 2A, a lot of the same. Laney, an undefeated 10-0. Laney stays at the number 1. I think they've been the leading wire to wire thus far, but we have some people who fell. I think Dublin's fallen pretty far over the past couple weeks, and then Putnam County, Raven County, and Dodge County have risen up a couple spots.
Yeah, there was some interesting stuff. You could read all this stuff on our website, sandyspiel.com, with their week 2 rankings, but if you want an audio version of it, I can explain it a little bit better. But that the Laney, they beat Josie 70-57, and that's a really big result, because Josie was undefeated going into that game, and Josie was sitting at, I don't know what they were before the loss. I think they were 13-0 before they just lost to Laney. Okay, so you could ask me, why wasn't Josie ranked before then? Well, I didn't have Josie ranked, even though they had a couple pretty decent results here and there, because Laney is the ultimate litmus test. Josie won 18 games last year. 18-9 were a pretty good team, but they got destroyed by Laney 3 times last year. 74-32, 72-35, 76-33. So they were getting beat by 40 points every single game, and I said, okay, well, they got beat by 40 points 3 times last year by the top team in the state. So that means, okay, I can't really put them in the top 10. The rest of that region's not very good. They beat up on a lot of teams, and when they finally face their biggest test, they got drilled. But you fast forward to this year when it matters. Josie was up 25-8 to start that game on Laney. When's the last time Laney was down 25-8 in any game, especially in girls basketball? It has to be years and years and years and years and years. Josie had them on the ropes. And Laney, they found a way to pull it out 70-57. But Josie, we got them at number 6, debuting at 13-1. They're a good team. They got the two junior sisters, Tykedra Roland averaging 17 points and 5 rebounds. And then I guess it's her sister, Rykeria Roland, averaging 11 points. Two physical players, play very well. Coach Juwan Bailey over there. They're playing exceptionally well. And, you know, that gave me great peace of mind to see them. Okay, they lost by 13 to Josie, a very respectable result in its own. But then when I find out that they were up 25-8, I mean, you got to give them a lot of credit. You don't want to say there's any moral victories. I don't think you can. But that's just a great showing because Laney has dominated, destroyed everybody by 40, 50 points in their region. No one has even sniffed them. And to see Josie playing that well is a great sign to make me feel really confident about them as a team, and I think they could really make some hay and make some noise. I don't know if they're going to be able to beat Laney, but that makes me feel really good about them once we get to the state playoffs in a couple more weeks. And another team, probably the biggest result outside of that, would be in Region 8. Region 8's been so good. Rabun County, who lost in the state championship game last year, they got beat 82-53. 82-53. Almost 30 points by Putnam County, who shoots all the way up to number 2. And I like Putnam County. I thought they had a good team. Rakia Penniman was coming back. But they got some other, just animals that are taking over. And that would be the sophomore, Jashanti Simmons, who's averaging almost 20 points and 7 rebounds a game. She's been phenomenal. Penniman hasn't had to score, as much, but she's still putting in 16 points, 8 rebounds a game. And then they got Haley Hyman, who has an average of 11 points and 4 rebounds. So they really have a three-headed monster. It's not really just a one- or two-man attack now. And they beat a really good Rabun County team handily. So that's very interesting to see. And, I mean, Putnam County, they're not out of the woods yet. They're just 2-0 in that region. They still have to get through Banks County, who, they slip a little bit more to number 8. But Banks County has played so many good teams. They lost to Madison County, who we have ranked in Class 4A. They lost to them 50-42, so Banks County's battle-tested. Rabun County has a championship pedigree, and they're going to try and get Brooke Hendricks back soon, hopefully. And then Putnam County, who's a little bit of an upstart. They had some great seasons a few years ago, but last year they sunk back down to the pack. But now it looks like they're firing on all cylinders. So Class 2A might actually be a lot more competitive than what we originally imagined. It might not be Laney running away with everything as easily as they have in years past.
Well, that was about to be my next question. In our preseason way too early predictions, we were very high on Laney, and that was your kind of lock to win a championship. But do these outcomes over the past 2 weeks sour your view on that a little bit?
I think they're still definitely the favorite. You can't say they're not the favorite. I mean, they are still undefeated. They are still winning these games. They still did beat Josie by 13 points, but they're not Goliath. They're what's a step below Goliath? Hercules or something? I don't know. They're still great. They're still definitely the team to beat, but there's a small cracks in the shield, maybe just barely, just a little bit. And another team that could be a problem that I thought, I don't know if you remember last year on the podcast, the team that I always thought had the best chance to beat Laney last year was Dodge County. But Dodge County, they got beat by Heard County in the Sweet 16. I heard Heard County hammered them with some hometown calls or something like that. Dodge County didn't play that great down the stretch. But you just look at Dodge County, they're different. A lot of these small schools, 3A schools, they're playing, or 2A schools, they're playing these different, these smaller schools and this and that. But Dodge County, they're going up as a 2A school, and they're playing all these 5A schools, and they're taking care of business. They beat Wayne County, who is a really good 5A school. Wayne County, let me check their record. They're about 8-2 right now, and that's a good team. I think they might have went to like the Sweet 16 last year in 5A. They beat them 78-53 earlier in the year, and then they rallied. They outscored them like 32-11 in the fourth quarter to stun them 52-51. So Dodge County is another team in Eastman, Georgia. They only have one loss on the year. It was a kind of bad loss to East Lawrence, 52-51, but I think Dodge County is another team. But yes, In summary, Laney's a team to beat, but I think the gap is much narrower than last year.
And finally, we'll work our way down to Class A Public. Again, some movement going on in the middle parts of that. Terrell County, I want to touch on. They fell from 3-7 in this week's rankings.
Yeah, I mean, they had a great win. They beat Pelham last year, and you know last year, Pelham Hornets, no one could touch them. No one would touch them. It was destiny that they were going to run away with the Class A Public Championship after they were stuck in 2A with private schools the past few years, and they finally went down and played public schools, and they ham-boned everybody. They crushed them. But they got beat by Terrell. I guess it was about like 2 points or so, something like that. Really close game, 1 or 2 points. But then you look at this week, and Terrell, they get beat by Woodville Tompkins, 46-44. So, I mean, it's tough that they drop four spots, but that's just how tight it's, you know, so nip and tuck in Class A Public. Everything's always changing. And you want to, you know, we just mentioned Woodville Tompkins who beats them. Woodville only moves up one spot to number six, but at 9-4, they don't have the sexiest record. But Woodville Tompkins, they haven't been beaten by another Class A Public school yet. They have a couple losses to some private schools and some bigger schools, but no one in Class A Public that they're going to see come state tournament time has beaten them yet. So at number six, they're quietly hovering around and striking distance to be a scary team if they continue to play well. And they're going to see some, you know, pretty decent teams. I mean, Calvary Day really hammered them good. And that's a team that's ranked number six in Class A Private. They beat them by about 29 points or so. So they're going to see some pretty good teams that could help them and, you know, get them battle tested for the state playoffs. So that pretty much sums up everything in Class A Public. But Telfair County, the clear number one right now, they're blowing everybody out. And everyone else is, you know, chasing them. Greenville, if I read that correctly, they only lost to number one Carver Columbus 78-72, which would be a phenomenal result. So keep an eye on Greenville if that's true with Brittany Davis leading the charge over there.
Before we move on to the boys, quickly on the girls, I said 4A through 7A. The rest of it's a pretty tight ship except for 6A. And I want to ask you, is the 6A girls the most – or the classification with the most parity across GHSA basketball, boys and girls? You know, most other divisions, you've had one team at the top, maybe two. But in 6A, Harrison, Northview, Lovejoy, Winder Barrow, I think they've all held the one spot at some point.
Yeah, I think that might be close to fair. That's pretty fair, especially on the girls' side. I mean, on the girls' side, definitely, and in Class 7A, you got pretty much three teams. In Class 5A, it's Buford, and if Flowery Branch ever gets over the hump, but Buford, heavy, heavy favorite. Carver Columbus, heavy favorite in 4A. We just mentioned Telfair. Class A Private, that's a three-team race. No matter how you slice it, it's only going to be three teams that are going to have a shot at the title. We mentioned Laney, GAC, and 3A over there. 6A, that's a good point. I mean, Harrison has played very, very well. I guess they are the team to beat as of right now. But we mentioned Winder Barrow. They always have the studs. They got Olivia Nelson-Odoa. So with her inside, if she stays healthy the entire season, don't be surprised to see them make a run at the state championship. Northview creeps back up to number two. They're going to have to really have a nice showing against Alpharetta, who slips all the way down to six after they got beat by Centennial in Region 7, who Centennial makes their first appearance in the top 10. But yeah, there's a lot of a parity in Class 6A. Lovejoy is a good team, but Anaya Boyd's been out. She's supposed to be out like 6 to 8 weeks with an eye injury, which is very scary. So that kind of puts Lovejoy in, idle mode right now, just running that motor and not really, you know, running too far up on anybody, just trying to, you know, keep the ship steady and keep it going, hold down the fort till she comes back for the state playoffs. But there's four teams that, you know, you feel really good about, and the rest, you know, if you run into a hot Sequoia team, they're going to have great guard play. They can hit some threes. They can scare you. You can run into a Lanier who has proven, they've shown that they can hang with the big boys and score some good wins. So there are a lot of teams in 6A that have a shot at, you know, getting hot at the right time and making a deep run come playoff time. But Harrison right now has probably been the most consistent.
We'll swing you on over to the boys' rankings for week 6. In 3A, I guess we'll show 3A some more love. Jenkins leapfrogged Johnson Savannah for the number 2 spot.
Yes, they took care of business, those two rivals. Johnson beat them the first time, actually, 67-54, if you remember. And that's when Amonzi Nugamezi going to Georgia, he was thrown out of the game in the first quarter. And I kind of feel like sometimes, obviously, you want your dogs, your best players out there on the court. But sometimes Johnson does play kind of well with Amonzi on the bench, you know, that just super, super fast, these guards, super athletic, blocking shots, getting out there and running. So they play well with him on the bench sometimes. But you always want your big centerpiece out there. But yeah, Jenkins, they took it to him 88-52, Memorial Health Holiday Classic Championship. It's just like Johnson versus Beach on the girls' side. These two rivals are going to see each other a ton of times, and it's going to be back and forth. But speaking of fast guards that like to get up and cause havoc, that's what Jenkins does. They'll press all over. Trey Mays is a great three-point shooter. Cy Fisher is transferred in from Louisiana, who's a really good guard that steadies their attack. Matt Sams. Bakari Bryant, his cupboard has not gone dry, has not gone bare, even though they lose a lot of talent from last year's team. So expect those two to really, you know, go back and forth all season long, switching spots. So we got Jenkins at number 2 now, Johnson at number 3. I really could see those teams switching and swapping back and forth. I would be, you know, it'd be hard to imagine either one of those teams dropping below number 5 in Class 3A. So if you're on the coast, you have a lot of fun basketball to look forward to. And Jenkins and Johnson, they're going to lock horns a lot more times this season.
We'll take it up to 7A. The McEachern Indians at 9-1, they sit atop of the hill, but Grayson, looking back 2 iterations ago, obviously we didn't have the podcast last week to discuss the change. Grayson, I believe they were at number 5 or 6, and they jumped up to number 2, and they stay at number 2. So are they contenders or are they pretenders, Kyle?
They're contenders. I mean, again, we've talked about heavy favorites. McEachern's super scary. I mean, they went 3-1 at the City of Palms. They finished in 3rd place. Sharif Cooper is really taking this game to the next level at 42 points, including a buzzer beater in a win over Hudson Catholic in overtime. He's been phenomenal to go along with Isaac Okoro. You got, you know, the size inside the shot blockers, Babatunde Akinbola, Jared Jones, Brandon Suggs, a 6'6 wing that, you know, is a little bit of a glue guy, does this, does that. They have some nice depth over there. So McEachern's definitely the scary team you want to avoid until the state championship game. But with that being said, Grayson's good, man. They beat Gainesville. They just this past week they beat Discovery 66-62. Travis Anderson, we have him top 3 point guards in the state for his class. He's a senior going to Charleston Southern. He's really good. But I'm telling you, the guy that really, really helps make this team go is Nick Edwards, a senior point guard, unsigned. He is really good. He is really good. Grayson has a ton of guards that they can throw out there. They move the ball very well. They can shoot it some. Coach Jeffrey Pierce is a really good coach. They play good defense. They love to hit the glass, especially with the big men Kenyon Jackson and Terrence. And Terrence Porter inside. So they got some guys. They got some size, 6'6", 6'6", inside, and really good guard play. Now, is that going to be enough to beat a McEachern with, you know, 6'9", 6'9" inside and just all this length and all these players? But Grayson, they're number 2 for a reason. They're definitely a contender. That's a team you're not going to want to run into come state tournament time because, as Coach Pierce says, it's money time. It's cash season in the state playoffs, and he finds ways to win games in the state playoffs.
And so quickly, give us a rundown of the rest of 7A. We haven't talked about it much this season, but with all these household names, Norcross, Collins Hill, Mountain View, Wheeler, Newton at 3 through 7 respectively. How does Region 7A stack up right now?
Yeah, there's a lot of good teams in Class 7A. That's for sure. Looking at that Region 7, you got Norcross in there leading the pack. Meadow Creek at number 8 is still a good team. I mean, on any given night, I feel like anyone in the top 10 could beat could beat anyone. You know, that's just how it's been played. We've talked, we've harped on Region 6 with Collins Hill, Mountain View, you know, all these teams in there, Peachtree Ridge, all these good teams in there. So it's going to be a dogfight. Newton has kind of steadied the ship a little bit. They got their revenge against Tift County 67-45. Ashton Hagen's just recently committed to Georgia, which is a crazy huge, you know, this could be a big time saving grace for Coach Mark Fox over there, that he's going to have a legit blue chip star point guard coming in on campus in Athens. So you better be excited about that. You're going to have to go see him play a lot in the next few years. So that's a home run ball. We want to talk about, you know, number 10 Etowah, who just cracks the pole in Class 7A. We got to see how they do against Milton coming up. But Etowah is a team that they kind of earned their spot. They beat Peachtree Ridge and knocked them out and kind of took over that. But, yeah, there's some good teams. I mean, the fact that Duluth's not even ranked right now is crazy, because Duluth is super good. They could be ranked anywhere in the top 10. But at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure everyone's chasing McEachern. Wheeler probably has the size and, you know, some of the talent to get them done, to probably match up best against McEachern if they had to play him. But, I mean, McEachern's scary and everyone's chasing him for a good reason.
And I wanted to take it down to Class 5A, and let's take a look at the middle of the pack there between Miller Grove, Southwest DeKalb, Lithonia, and McIntosh. Give us a little breakdown of the middle of the pack in 5A.
I mean, pretty much everything you see there is Region 5, and that's number 3 Columbia, number 4 Miller Grove, number 5 Southwest DeKalb, number 6 Lithonia. Those are good teams, man. Those are really, really, really good teams. But with that being said, are they good enough to beat a Warner Robins or a Buford right now? I'm not quite sure I'd go that far to say that they could beat those guys right now. I think Buford is really starting to click with Alex Jones back healthy. But that Region 5 is just going to be brutal to match up with. And they're going to match up with, let's see, 1 versus 2, 3 versus 4, 5 versus 6. So if you're in Region 6, which I believe is – I think that's Maynard Jackson and Lithia Springs off the top of my head. Possibly, I could be wrong. You do not want to see those teams. You do not want to go on the road. You want to win your region. You desperately want to win that region and avoid those teams, because, shoot, those are four teams right there. We just listed those four teams in Region 5. You could have all four of your seeds in the top six in the state. That's crazy. I mean, we'll see how it all shakes out. But right now, all those teams have been taking care of business, playing so extremely well. It's just going to be really tough, but those are some great teams in DeKalb County, and DeKalb County has always been a power, and this year is no different.
Usually at this point in the podcast now, we'd go and talk about some Tuesday or Wednesday night games, but this being the holiday break for schools and, you know, there aren't any region plays, recaps are tough to do because everything's tournament play. You know, it's tough to recap that, but let's highlight some of the upcoming tournaments that are coming up, and I guess we'll make this our peak state stops of the week. No point in really writing out individual games when all the best teams are playing at these tournaments. We have the Tournament of Champions. I believe they have a game coming up tomorrow, Kyle.
Yes, Tournament of Champions over there at Wheeler. They got, looks like, four brackets. I believe it's four brackets. The thing is just slam-packed with teams from out of state. It's really super star-studded. I'm not really sure if a team from Georgia is going to end up winning the championship, especially in those brackets with the teams from out of state, because there's some good teams. It's going to be tough sledding, but there's some great matchups. I mean, at this time of the year, pretty much all the best teams across the state are playing in a tournament right now. But the Tournament of Champions, I mean, just listing off some of the teams, if you want me to, real quick, some of the teams: Green Forest, Southwest DeKalb, Lambert, Etowah, Lithonia, Milton's in there, who's having a good year, Duluth's in there, Eagles Landing Christian Academy, we got Shiloh, who has not played well this year but still has talent, Wheeler plays Pace Academy in the opening round, Meadow Creek's in there, Jonesboro versus Holy Spirit Prep. And then looking at the, I guess it's considered the peach bracket, they got, you know, Grayson's in there against Sacred Heart, Alabama, who I think Grayson should take care of business. And then they'll end up playing either Pebble Brook or Lower Richland from South Carolina. You got Miller Grove in there, Langston Hughes. So it's slam packed. Goes from the 28th through the 30th. It's just all day basketball at the Tournament of Champions over at Wheeler. It's a really, really good event, especially if you want to see some teams from out of state.
Another tournament, I believe, with 8 team draws on both the boys and the girls' side is going to be the Deep South Classic at Brookwood High School.
Yes, this is a long-running event. Looks like it's a 26th annual. The boys' bracket, it's not as star-studded as these other tournaments. Looking at it right now, Archer's really good this season. Effingham County's pretty plucky group. Greenbrier versus Lanier might be one of the best games, a first-round matchup. But if you want to swing it over to the girls' side, that's where the money's made right there. There are some good games. You got number 5 Cherokee playing Effingham County. You got number 1 Holy Innocence versus Tukula. Madison County, who we have ranked number 5 in Class 4A, they're playing Brookwood, who has been ranked for a couple weeks now. They dropped out pretty recently, but that should be a pretty good matchup. And then your favorite, Northview Titans, number 2 in the state. They're playing a pretty good Class 7A Hillgrove team who has those good guards over there now. So pretty good girls' side. I would say the girls' side is better than the boys' side, but all around some pretty good basketball over there at the Deep South Classic over at Brookwood.
And where you will be, the Lake City Classic, a 4-day long tournament, Kyle.
Yeah, I'll be holding it down starting tomorrow. I'll be there, you know, getting there bright and early. Cedar Grove versus Alexander opens at 10 a.m., but that's, you know, over there at Allatoona and Ackworth, that's an awesome tournament. Great teams. Let me just list them off. Cedar Grove plays Alexander. And then this is going in order. So then Warner Robins plays Hillgrove. Tukula plays Mariana from Florida. Alpharetta plays a team from Augusta. Upson Lee plays Millbrook. St. Francis versus Parkview. Huffman versus North Cobb Christian. Then the nightcap. And, you know, you could just salivate just looking at some of these matchups. I mean, Upson Lee, they just won the signature series down at the City of Palms in some scary games. They beat Calcana. Jordan McCabe going to West Virginia. They found a way to survive him. Beat them by about 12 points or so, and then they rallied from about 14 points down to beat Corbin and Kentucky 73-71. So Upson Lee brings their 44-game winning streak into the Lake City Classic, and boy, if they win their first game and St. Francis wins their first game, Upson Lee versus St. Francis in the second round, number 1 St. Francis in Class A private versus number 1 in 4A Upson Lee. That could be a great matchup. You got Ty Fagan, you got Trayvon Walker inside, Zyrie Scott, Cameron Traylor going up against DeJuan Odom, who's been playing, you know, out of his mind, amazing as a sophomore, just that hyper-athletic two-guard that has really kind of taken over the point guard position, averaging about 8 assists a game. He's electric. Sam Hines, I got Chase Ellis, Caleb Snyder, just a lot of good pieces. That'd be a very fun matchup to see. But before I say too much, the one thing I want to slip in there, Upson Lee, I think the thing that makes Upson Lee so good is that they have Trayvon Walker, and other teams they play don't have Trayvon Walker. He's really the difference maker as a 6'6", you know, elite rebounder, shot blocker. He just does everything. And if you notice, I mean, going back to who they struggled with in the state tournament last year in 4A, that was Stevens County, who had someone that can match up with him, a 6'7", 240 of their own, and DeAndre Singleton. They only beat them by about, you know, 76 to 71 or so. So that's something to really keep an eye on. Upson Lee has always had the biggest man on the court in all their games. But over here, at the Lake City Classic, I think Millbrook has some big guys that they're going to have to deal with. I don't know if they have the great size, mass, width-wise, as a Trayvon does. But they're going to see some good teams. So, shoot, we could end up seeing, what if it was Upson Lee versus Warner Robins in the championship? Crazy. A lot of great Middle Georgia basketball this year. And if they both were able to take care of business and play in the championship game, that'd be wild. But it is a phenomenal tournament at the Lake City Classic, especially if you really love your Georgia high school basketball. I would really suggest you get out there to Ackworth. Great games, great games.
all those teams that you listed, those are boys teams, correct?
But yes, those are all boys teams. So they got the main gym cranking up, which will be going all day, and then eventually on the 28th, which would be let's see, the 28th is considered a Thursday. What is it? Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. They will switch over. They'll have games in the main gym and the auxiliary gym as well. So, yeah, Lake City Classic, I'm going to be there all week. It's going to be great basketball.
One last tournament to touch on that I happened to run across some brackets on and Twitter, Linear Land. They're having a tournament, and I saw a bunch of East Hall. I think East Hall, West Hall, and teams around that region are going to be playing there.
Yeah, Linear Land, they have that every single year. It's all the Hall County schools. Last year was a bloodbath with Gainesville literally winning by about 35, 40 points a game. So it wasn't even competitive. Last year was great. They had about four or five girls teams that were ranked. But the girls bracket's even watered down this year. A lot of those, you know, great teams graduated their top players. So right now, I mean, it should be Gainesville boys and Flowery Branch girls should win those tournaments and should probably win them pretty handily. I think Flowery Branch, if they take care of their business, they could give Gainesville a little bit of a run for their money in the second round of that tournament on the boys' side. But I think at the end of the day, I mean, Gainesville is just going to be way too loaded and nobody else in Hall County can match up with them. And same goes for Flowery Branch as well on the girls' side, just not enough firepower for anybody else in the county.
And I guess we will get around to some recaps after all. You touched on it earlier, City of Palms and the Peach State Classic. Let's start with the City of Palms, Kyle.
Yeah, McEachern went 3-1, got third place. They drilled Rainy School, New Jersey. They beat Hudson Catholic from New Jersey in overtime. They lost to University School, which is your traveling band of all your Georgia transfers, Trey Dooms and Drew Drennan and all that. You know, they've got the old AAU team back together. Pretty illegal stuff going on in Florida, but they let it fly anyway. Got the EYBL coach coaching a high school team and just, you know, taking players. But they lost to them, and then they beat Simeon. They beat Simeon for the third win from Chicago. And Simeon, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that's where Derek Rose went to school. Some of those great players from the Chicago area, you might want to check that for him, but I'm pretty sure that's where Derrick Rose went. But they beat them by 2 points. So McEachern, they were great. Sharif Cooper was phenomenal. And then I just mentioned earlier, Upson Lee with a very good showing, taking care of business in their two games to win the Signature Series championship. Ty Fagan had a monster game in that comeback. I think he had like 34 points, something crazy like that, to help Upson Lee keep their winning streak alive.
And the Peach State Classic, Kyle?
Peach State Classic, a lot of the results back and forth. Let me see if I can pull them up here real quick. I know Tri-Cities, I believe they ended up winning it all. They beat Pinson Valley. They beat Thurl, however you want to pronounce it as well. Oh, so Tri-Cities playing very well. Jonesboro was in there. Lost by one to Heritage Conyers and beat Cedar Grove 68-67, and then they lost to Tri-Cities 83-67. So I guess that would be considered the championship game right there. So Tri-Cities had a really, really great run, beating some good teams. Westlake was in there as well, playing some teams. So a lot of good teams at that Peach State Classic. I was, you know, cooped up, sick, wasn't able to get out there, but our Rob Grubbs was in attendance for some of the games, a lot of the girls' games as well. So he was able to check some out. But a lot of good action over there at Maynard Jackson. Riddle Williams always does a really good job over there. And he's got a nice facility. He's at Clayton State last year, but Maynard Jackson, a little bit closer to me at least, and a really nice facility over there.
Kyle, I had another string of questions I wanted to get to, but looking at the slate of tournament games and where we are, I have a sneaking suspicion that next week's podcast will have some time to kill, so I'll save it for then. But on behalf of you, Kyle, and the rest of the Sandy Spiel team, we thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you on the other side of the new year in 2018. Have a great one.